had to kind of title this message, I would title it, Fight the Good Fight of Faith. And here you're going to realize that I'm a little selfish, in fellowship. Fight the good fight of faith in fellowship. Obviously, I have a vested interest in people fighting the good fight of faith in fellowship because we are Kenya Christian Fellowship in America, and core to who we are as Kenyans and friends of Kenyans, as Christians, is that we are in fellowship. Webster Dictionary defines fellowship as both a noun and a verb, so we can fellowship with one another. What did you do today? I fellowshiped, nearly fellowship, if you want to say that. But it's also a noun. I liked the one when I pulled up my Google. You know, you put it in Google, and Google apparently has their own dictionary that's not necessarily the Webster Dictionary. It says a fellowship is a friendly association, especially with people who share one's interest. Look around this room, and I can definitely and honestly say I am in a fellowship with you and with you and with you. A friendly association, especially with people who share one's interest. But being in fellowship requires input from you and from me. There are certain things we have to invest in order to enhance fellowship, in order to make fellowship grow. And if our fellowship, Kenya Christian Fellowship in America, Baltimore chapter, is going to grow stronger going forward and in 2020, specifically, may I offer a few things that I need you to do more of this year. All these are things that you have been doing. Four things. I'm just going to ask you to do more of these things. There's none of this that you haven't done, but I'm going to ask you to do more of them. Thing number one, more hospitality. More hospitality. Several years ago, the National Executive Board asked me to go to Denver, Colorado, to launch the chapter there. I only knew one person in Denver, Colorado at that time, and she was a transplant from New Jersey. So I went and stayed with her, and we were gonna go. I arrived on Saturday, and then on Sunday we were going to launch the chapter. Actually, no, I arrived on Saturday, and Saturday afternoon we were going to launch the chapter because they met on a Saturday. Once we got to the fellowship, we got there probably 30 minutes before the fellowship began, and everybody was setting up, the tables were set, they were doing the finishing touches, and I sat down at a table where I was shown to sit. And so I did, and because I didn't know anyone and they were busy doing what they were doing, I kind of put my face to my notes and I was just gonna prepare myself for what was to come. Every no more than 5 minutes, someone would stop at my table and say, "Hi, you must be Patricia. I'm such and such. We're so glad you're here. Thank you so much for coming." And they would say one or two things, and then they would walk away. And that happened over and over and over until the fellowship began, and then it happened over and over and over after the fellowship, which taught me a couple of things. They were expecting me, and they made me feel welcome. Their hospitality is something I haven't forgotten. And how long is the Denver chapter now? Are they 10 years old yet? Not yet, but it's probably close, right? So it's been many, it's at least 7 years, because I haven't been on the board for that long. But it felt good for people to know that I'm coming, and for people to really go out of their way to come in. They didn't have to. They could have left me there. After all, you're the guest, so we'll leave you alone, which, by the way, is something I love to do. If I go somewhere and you're the guest, I'm like, I don't want to bother you. Like, you're here and you're good. But it made me feel a certain kind of way. One of the things I observe after our services here is that me and my friends, usually we'll find a corner, we'll grab our tea, because we love our Kenyan tea, we'll sip our tea, and we'll be standing in a closed circle like that. And then Dr. Gatumu, who's new to us, is unable to break into that. I'm asking you to do more hospitality. I'm asking us to open ourselves up. I'm asking us to actually not gather over there, because after all, Lillian, you're going to see Catherine at some point, right? Why do you need today? to close in with her. I mean, what does that say about your relationship after the fellowship then? So I'm asking you to open up. I'm asking you to notice that we have a new visitor, and I'm asking you to bug them until they tell you walk away from me. That's what I'm asking us to do. I'm asking you to find time to reach out to people who usually kind of stand outside by themselves. And if you must, Lillian, I'm picking on you because you're leaving. If you must, and of course you don't do this, if you must, do your little circle in there, then call Dr. Gatumu into it and include her in it. So let us practice more hospitality. There are people who come here, and many times, and some of you have called me and told me this, and because we didn't reach out to them, because we weren't very hospitable. By the way, doesn't mean that we were mean to them. That's not what it means, right? There's a difference. We were not mean to them. We did not push them away. But sometimes you can do something by not doing something, right? So we can push away by not reaching out. They will usually walk away. They'll get their tea. They'll look around, and then they'll walk away. And no one knew that they came. And if they don't come back, you can't ask them why they didn't come back, because you didn't know they were here in the first place. So how can you ask them to come back? Let us practice more hospitality this year. We can only combat this by showing more hospitality. Like I said, walk up to someone and strike up a conversation. And by the way, I'm speaking to myself, because I'm the kind of person, if you invite me somewhere, I'm looking for the chair in the back, because I love to watch people. And if I do that, I feel so good about myself, and I go home and I'm happy. Now, some of you are introverts. I get that. But most of you are Kenyan. You're loud. You love to talk to people. You go to Pennsylvania, the fellowship is over. Pennsylvania people go home, and you're still in their parking lot talking like you don't have a home in Baltimore. So please, let us practice more hospitality. You don't have to interrogate anyone, but get a sense of their interests, get a sense of who they are. And if they're kind of not the kind of people you would talk to, I bet you there's someone else who's here who would talk to them. And so you can guide them there. I've seen some of you do that. Oh, so you're in IT, great. I know such and such who's in IT, and you'll walk them over there. Do at least that much. But how are you going to know that someone is in IT if you're usually not talking to them? How many people do you talk to, and I mean talk to, at this fellowship? How many people do you know, not know of, but know, that are part of this fellowship? Do they have the same last name as you? That doesn't count. Do they live in the same village in Kenya as you? That doesn't count. How many people in this fellowship, if you just do from the corner of your eye, and these people looked over this way, and these people looked over that way, how many of those people do you know, talk to? I'm asking you today to open yourself up. I'm asking me today to open myself up to be able to know. And at the same time, build relationships in your day-to-day life. Our fellowship here, right, should spill into our daily life. And I'm saying this because I was guilted this week by myself and by somebody else when I was like, yeah, I'll come over. We should get together. We should do this. And it's been 4 years and we haven't gotten together and we haven't done this that we should have done because I said we should do this. And I'm looking at some of you and I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. But it should spill over into our daily lives outside of the third Sunday so that when we come to the third Sunday, right? It's not my sister Lillian that I want to talk to so much. I'm actually opening my eyes up because I'm KCFA Baltimore and someone came and I need to welcome them in just a little more. And when you're doing life outside of fellowship, you know those people I said will come and you don't know them? Invite them, right? If you're taking your kids to the park on Saturday, they have kids, invite them. They may not end up being your best friends, that's not the goal, but man, let them feel the warmth of fellowship. Let them feel the warmth of fellowship. Are you doing dinner at your house? Next time you do dinner, right? Call someone you would likely not have called to come to your house for dinner. So the next time you invite three people, invite a fourth. Call them up out of the blue and bring them in and see what happens. At least you'll have three people you can talk to if you really don't get along with this fourth person that you invited. But let's open ourselves up for that. Because it is in relationship that we build Christian fellowship. We are constantly saying how Christian fellowship is dying, people are not really getting together, Christians are not growing. Well, all Christians are watching TV, no, bedside Baptist instead of going to church. Chances are if you're talking to someone, you're going to get out of bed to be able to go to church because you're going to see them, right? Or you're going to get out of bed to come to fellowship because you're going to see them, and they make you feel a certain kind of way. So I encourage us to please, please, please practice more hospitality. And here's a verse to help you out and give you a reason for that. You know it, right? Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That's from Hebrews 13, 2. If you haven't met an angel lately, maybe you haven't practiced hospitality. Let our fellowship be known for extending love to others. Let our fellowship be known for that, for our hospitality. That was thing number two. Thing number one. Thing number two, you can tell I've read a lot of Dr. Seuss. Thing number two is more service. The Saturday evening before Christmas dinner is kind of a highlight for me as a leader in KCFA Baltimore. So I usually come in that evening. That's when there's a group of about 10 guys that Kibunja somehow gets together. And many of you are in this room. And they come together, and they come to the hall, and they set up the hall, and they put down the tables, they put down the chairs, they put down whatever contraptions Muyaki has decided we're going to use for decorations that day. And when you come in on Sunday the next day, you have no idea there were 10 guys the previous night who set up, right, joyfully give of their service and decided to do this. I'm usually not needed. I'm probably a hindrance when I come because all I do is stand there. but I come because it reminds me of the goodness of people and their giving of their service. 2 years ago, we ran short of tables. So many of the tables were broken. They were wobbly. The guys tried to kind of prop them with this and prop them with that, and that wasn't happening. Then someone decided, I'm going to home, or maybe they went to Home Depot. They came back. They had screws. They had a screwdriver. They had a drill. I think there was a toolbox in the floor. And before we left, every table in that hall was standing strong. You and I ate from it the next day, and you and I actually ate from it when we had our dinner this last month. This church did not have to pay anyone to get those tables fixed. Service. Do more service. And I tell you this story because in this room are people with many, many, many gifts. I have a baby drill at home. I usually tell Wanjao whenever he comes and he's trying to fix my thing, I'm like, do you want me to bring you my baby drill? Because it's this big. And in Jose's hand, it looks like a toy. But these guys can run drills. They can do all kinds of things. They can fix things. So obviously, they're handy. But there are so many other skills sitting in this room, right? There are people who can inspire you. There are people who are RNs. There are people who are starting their own practices. Did you know that? There are people who are psychologists. We know some of them. You don't know all of them. There are people who in this room I know have gotten jobs because they know someone who knows someone because they work in a certain capacity. But you will not know that first if you're not hospitable, so you're not in relationship, and so you won't get to know that. So to my earlier point about relationship, this is how you get relationship. This is how you get to do relationship also is when you're giving of your service. So service will benefit this fellowship, but it will also benefit you. When you serve with others, guess what you do? You get vetted information. Sometimes you don't even have to go to the, what is that home place called online where you go to find out the home advisor. You have a home advisor right here sitting next to you, by the way. You have school advisor sitting right here next to you. You have doctor advisor sitting here right next to you. You have college advisor sitting here right next to you. So, but you won't be able to do that because this is great, right, when we are facing forward, but it's in our groups and in the people that we know and in the people that we talk to that we find out so much more. So this year, I ask you, KCFA Baltimore Fellowship, what is that thing that you do? Go to church and give your service on Sunday. Go to work and be diligent there, and then come to fellowship and serve here too. And let our fellowship not be the other thing that you do whenever. Let it also be the thing that you do joyfully, regularly, always. And that is more likely to happen when you serve. I'm going to stop here and lament just a little bit. We love tea, don't we? You're going to get a cup of tea. I'm going to say at the end, oh, and we have a cup of tea for you in the fellowship hall this afternoon, right? There are women who have chosen to take one Sunday a month, to take one Sunday a year, because we do 12 Sundays, and actually we do 10, because some of those we don't. And they come in probably 3:15, 3:30, they make tea, so they can be in here at 4 to participate in the fellowship. Then there's another pair of women that usually will leave the hall right about 6-ish, and they'll go get ready so that you can be served. The goal is no one should have to carry the burden of making tea and serving tea by themselves for 12 months, right? So we are trying to share that out. Some of you have already taken months and you've run with them. We have a few months apparently that haven't been taken. Today was one of those. So three of you, unfortunately, had to step out at 4:30. Usually I will come in. This is not the lamentation. Usually I'll come in, and because I'm usually here earlier than most, I'll put hot water on, get it started, so that whoever is making tea when they come, there's at least hot water. I couldn't do it today for a variety of reasons, including Ignatius had to go to the store. I'm usually the one who goes to the store. Thank you so much, Ignatius. But three of you had to step out to go make that tea, and so you missed worship, you missed that whole thing. I appreciate you doing that, but I don't think that's what we should do. I don't think that's what we should do. I think that page should be filled completely. There should be a woman signed up for every one of those days. There should be. There's no reason why not. And, lamentation, I shouldn't have to beg you. Which I've had to do. I don't mind begging, by the way, because you know me. I'll come to you over and over and over and over again. But if your name is not on that list, right? Get your name on that list. Put your name on that list. Choose one month. And here's something else I'm going to say to our young people. You don't have to wait until you're 25 to serve in the fellowship. Serve now in your youth. Don't let anyone despise your youth. Don't let them despise your youth. Do not let them despise your youth. Your youth is your reason for serving. Don't worry about us older folks, because we'll do what we do, because apparently we get to a certain age and we get set in our ways. And, you know, when you get to our age, you'll get set in your ways. But since you haven't gotten there yet, right, every one of you should be doing something. As you wrap up your high school years and your college years, you're going to need plenty of recommendations. And guess where your recommendations are sitting? Right here. Your job offers are sitting right here. Your next steps are sitting right here. So we're doing everything we can to get better for your sake. So I'm asking all our leaders, and our women's department, by the way, does a lot, does good with this, but I'm asking all our leaders, if there's something that needs to be done, when the thing is being done, let there be a young person right next to you. If there's something that needs to be done, when it is being done, let there be a young person next to you. We gave ourselves that challenge last Sunday, and Ignatius is like, I'm going to be fast. I need a young person to be an usher. And if you start ushering Grace and you don't care for it, you quit. No one's going to fire you. But don't quit until you've decided, maybe I want to work with the children. And if that doesn't work, you quit. And you say, I want to serve the water for the speaker. And that doesn't work, you quit. And say, Wanjao, I want to do sound. Do that. Do that. Joki, you have a voice from heaven. I have no idea why you're not singing every third Sunday. I don't know. I really don't know. And if these people are stopping you, please call me and let me know. Because there is no reason, no reason why in February you shouldn't be singing. No reason. And the rest of you. But we will not know this if the secret to Njoki's work ethic only hides with Martha. Martha needs to share it. We need to figure it out. We need to bring it in. So I'm asking every leader in this ministry, find a young person. Never do anything without a teenager around. Bring them in. And teenagers, you want to do something, you let me know and I'll show you where to go. And you know what that means though? Parents, you have to bring them. You have to drop them off. And you have to pick them up. And we will support them as they grow. So, I'm asking again, the adults, let's do something about it and let's fix them. Invite them in. You're the guide. Teach them what you want them to do, then expect it from them. Sometimes here is what I hear. Oh, but they don't know what to do. Of course they don't. They've never done it before. They can't. You're right. But who's going to teach them? You and me. So yeah, bring them in. They don't know how to do it. You teach them how to do it. That's our job. That way, when you're done serving, when you're like, I've been doing this for 25 years, I'm kind of done, there's someone who's only been doing it for 5, and they can take it up from you. It's in service that we grow. It's in service that we build relationships. It's in service that we become a better fellowship. Here's a verse to help us all out. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. From Proverbs 27:17. Let our fellowship be known for its service to others. More hospitality, more service, and more outreach. Let's begin with a verse. For I was hungry, this is Jesus speaking, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will say, or will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of this, my brothers, you did it to me. Go back to the previous slide, please. Well, one more over this way, yes. Underlined things. There are people in our community who are spiritually hungry and literally hungry. There are people in our community who are spiritually thirsty and literally thirsty. There are people who are strangers in our community. And if someone walks in this door and they've never been here before, first time visitor, guess what they are to us? a stranger. There are people who are naked and they need to be clothed. There are people who are sick and they need someone to visit with them. There are people who are in prison and they need people to go to them. But guess who gets to go to those people? You and me, the righteous. Because God is not asking the naked and the sick about this. He's saying to the righteous, you did this. This is our job. These are the things that we need to do more of, more outreach. Because our Christian faith is not about ourselves and keeping to ourselves, but it's about spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Preachers preach, teachers teach, evangelists evangelize, but all of us must reach out. All of us must serve those who are in need in our community. And because we know these things, that these are the things we need to give to the people who are in need, this is not, like I said, a command for pastors only, but for all of us. Now, here's something I always hear people say. People say to me, oh, we had a bereavement, and we had Amaombolezi, and KCFA Baltimore wasn't there. No, I saw Lois. KCFA Baltimore was there. I saw Paris. I saw Mohaki. KCFA Baltimore was there. Usually what people mean, there are certain faces of leaders of KCFA Baltimore that they're expecting to see, and when those faces are not there, right, KCFA Baltimore wasn't there. But Lucas can't go to every one of those things. He'd love to, right? But he can't. And it's unfair to expect that if he goes, then KCFA Baltimore went. But guess who's responsible for changing that narrative? You and me. Because you're there. We're participating in our community. Last year we said one of our number one goals is to participate in our community. Well, let's push that this year just a little bit more. Here's one way we can change that narrative. And I'm going to give another story. I'm full of stories today. Last year I went to an event. Nice event. I was invited. I went. I was really, really happy. Great. We had great fellowship, great food, all kinds of things. But here's one thing I left with. Everybody who stood up to say something said, my name is such and such. I am a member of XYZ organization, and I am a proud member of it. My name is such and such, and I am a proud member of XYZ organization. How often is that coming out of my mouth? My name is Patricia Njenga, and I am a proud member of KCFA Baltimore. How often is that coming out of your mouth? Because KCFA Baltimore is not one or two people. KCFA Baltimore is all of us. So when you go places this year, practice in the mirror. Hello, my name is Patricia Njenga, and I am with KCFA Baltimore. And soon you will be saying, I am a proud member of KCFA Baltimore, if you're not ready to say that right now. But say those things. The things that you associate with are the things, and you can speak to them, are the things that other people are going to be attracted to. Right? I work at a school. It is a Baltimore City school. We have all kinds of issues going on, but you would not get me to go anywhere else. I love that school with everything I've got. So whenever I go to meetings, people are talking terribly about their school. I'm like, but my school is amazing. Issues or not, because issues will be there, won't they? Issues will be there. Catherine and I are going to knock heads maybe tomorrow. You better not. Gladys will come get us if we do. But issues will be there. But we walk through those issues. And actually, if we don't get much more, because we can't do hospitality for KCFA Baltimore, and we can't do service for KCFA Baltimore, if we don't carry it inside of us with everything that we have. With everything that we have. If you see a billboard and don't think KCFA Baltimore, I don't know. If you go a whole week and you haven't thought about KCFA Baltimore, I don't know. So if you need to write it on a note card, so that you remember that you are a proud member of KCFA Baltimore. Please do that. So next time when someone sees me, then they can tell me, oh my goodness, I met some people and they were so happy to be members of KCFA Baltimore. And by the way, that has happened to me and I have appreciated it very much. Again, by doing so, you will make those you come into contact with want to know what KCFA Baltimore is. You will bring them into our fellowship. And if they don't know Jesus, which is kind of my favorite part, if they don't know Jesus, right, you bring them into this place, they hear the gospel, we send them to a church that's Bible-believing and Bible-preaching, and by that, we extend the kingdom of God. And someone asked me the other day if we care about numbers. Of course we care about numbers. Because if people are not sitting in these chairs, we're not preaching the gospel to anyone. So if you bring them in, and Pastor Karan just stands to preach to them, and they hear the gospel and they get saved, then yes, we care about numbers, because that's one more or two more or 10 more who have come to know Christ and can call on the Lord Jesus and they can have salvation for themselves. So bring them in. Whoever it is that brought on a new visitor today, we thank you. I'm assuming it's you. We thank you so much, Sister Florence. So, challenges. All those of you who talk to people, keep talking to them and keep bringing them in. So, in 2020, let us do more outreach. And last, but definitely not least, more support. Our annual budget is lean. It's probably like 1/10 of some of your salaries at $21,978. So actually, you could write a check, 10% of your salary, and we would be fine. Just saying. But anyway, that's what our budget for 2020 is. We keep it as lean as we can. So each month, we need to collect about $1,831. I'm not afraid, because you guys can do this. If you, each one of you, gives $20 a month, we knock that out in no time. We really, really do. And some of you can write your $20 for the whole year right now and it would be good and done. But anyway, if you write your check for $20 a month, every month, we'll be just fine. But if every one of you, and some of you give way more than $20 a month, so that's great. So for those of you who will not, for Grace who will bring, how much are you going to bring me? Don't tell me. We'll cover you because some of us will have some extra. So that's what our budget stands at. More support. More support. It can only come from you. So please give. It is definitely doable. At the same time, we're still collecting for our scholarship fund. Our goal, as you know, is to raise $100,000 by 2021. Yay! No? No? Yeah? Oh, okay, great. It rolled on the wave, and we made it there. We have raised $27,504 so far. That's in the bank. Do the math for how much we need to raise. There are several ways we want to raise this money this year. Some of you continue to give annually, which is great. Our scholarship fund is for students who are going to college. They've been accepted to either 2 or 4 year colleges. And what we want to do is increase our level of giving, invest that money so that from now until there'll be money for children to go to school and they will be able to get a scholarship. One of the ways, like I was saying, is I don't know if we have that flyer, Jose, but if we don't, that's fine. This, on April 11, 2020, Ruth Wamoyo will be in concert in Baltimore, and that concert will benefit KCFA Baltimore Scholarship Fund. She has agreed to do this. I think it's a big deal. Many of you who met me in December, I was like freaking out because Ruth Wamoyo talks to me. Like really talks to me, like she calls my phone, I'm still amazed. But anyway, she will be in concert on April 11th. Any proceeds from this will go to our scholarship fund. Tell all your friends, tell all your brothers, bring everyone, and we'll have a good time right here in our fellowship hall. Another way you can support our scholarship fund is by using any matching funds that your company offers. Many organizations, especially corporations, offer matching gift funds. Now, some of them don't give to religious organizations, okay, but they might be able to give to a scholarship if it says it's going to a scholarship, so use that. But some companies have that. They offer matching gift funds. So you say, I'm going to give $1,000 to the fellowship, and they say, we'll match a dollar-to-dollar ratio, so we just got $2,000 there that we didn't have before. So find out from your HR departments if they do this. Look on your website, talk to someone, call them, email them. Find out if they do that. And if they do, we'll fill out any forms we need to fill out so that that can happen. And if you really, really, really need support and details about how to do that, neither of them are in here because they're with the children, please see Catherine and Benson Kibonja. They can kind of walk you through how to do this. Our theme last year was excelling in all things. And by the way, that theme had a lot to do with money. Or rather, that verse, our theme was about excelling in all things, but that verse has a lot to do with money. 2 Corinthians 8:7, it's not going to be up there. But it was about excelling in the grace of giving. So I invite you to support KCFA Baltimore financially. This year, I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, let us be more hospitable. Let us show or give more service. Let us be more, do more outreach and do more support. None of these things have you not done, but we can get from good to great to excellent. We are capable of doing that. Let us pray.